Mike here. Quick note. If you enjoy listening to Elise and I break down episodes and films on this podcast, you should know we have an entirely separate podcast through Patreon. There we break down New York City-based rom-coms like When Harry Met Sally, You've Got Mail, Hitch, Trainwreck, Bros, and many more to come.
I think that we should yell at children more often. Not parents. Parents, be nice to your kids. But the rest of us should sometimes take children out to task a little.
I never yelled at a child, but I did have an arch nemesis who was like 8 years old. Like, hearing you talk about it, I'm like, well, then why would they do all that for just that moment? But then you think about it, and if they didn't, it would look like the movies I made in high school with my friends. We're really, really concerned about the bottom line of Bros.
I really am. I feel like we've already found ways they could have saved money on the budget.
Right.
If they just would have asked us about it.
For $4 a month, you get 3 to 4 episodes monthly covering a rom-com, and we're doing some fun bonus content as well. You can find us on the Patreon app by searching We Couldn't Help But Wonder, or through our website, wecouldn'thelpbutwonder.com. Hope you join us there.
Okay, well, welcome to episode 2 of We Couldn't Help But Wonder. I'm Mike Jensen.
I'm Elise Castle.
So this week we are talking about the episode Models and Mortals. This episode debuted on June 6th, 1998, which is the same date that the pilot debuted. So we had a two-part premiere for this guy. The director was Allison McLean, and the writer was Darren Star, who also wrote the pilot, the main producer. So I guess if we wanted to summarize this, people talk about pilots and second episodes, and that in some ways a second episode is really the first episode, that the pilot is sort of like setting things up, and then the next episode is really the show taking off. And that's kind of true here. The basic premise is the four girls and their relationships to the way they feel about models and the way they feel about men who date models.
Right.
What was your initial reaction?
To the episode in a whole?
Yeah.
Well, at first I got kind of, because, you know, they talk about these models and how they, like, models don't eat and models are stupid and all this. And I'm like, well, that's no better than you thinking the men think are dating these models. And, you know, I feel like they're beautiful people, but they're not really the bad guys. You know, if we're talking about who's bad in this situation, maybe it would be just the men who choose to date these women for status or as objects, not the women themselves. And not even all men that date models are bad people. They could fall in love with a person who happens to be a model. So when I was watching this, I was like getting kind of angry at first. And then I found myself, there's a scene where all the women are in their kitchen eating Chinese food out of boxes. And like my first thought was, they really wouldn't be eating Chinese food. They'd be like splitting a kale salad. So then I thought it was funny how I started to go down this rabbit hole of like self-consciousness. And then I realized that the four women were all very self-conscious about themselves, which is why they were probably making fun of the models. And I got kind of deep with it, actually.
Okay. Yeah.
And then can I like say how it ends?
Sure.
Okay. So then when it finally ends and Big has that line where he says,
after a while, you just want to be with the one that makes you laugh. Know what I mean?
And I was like, oh, so now we're coming. But it still felt bad for the models because I'm like, these women really didn't do anything wrong.
It's funny because I don't feel bad for the models, but I will say that there are a lot of comments, and a lot of the comments had to do with like, models are people too.
Yeah.
So I guess other people felt the same way that you felt.
Yeah, and I just thought it was interesting how, also I just thought the whole term that Carrie kept referring to, like modelizer.
You were on a date with a modelizer and you didn't even know it?
Like I've never heard that. I'm a waiter that lives in Queens, but so my friends aren't really like dating models. But I thought of that too, like, I've never heard someone be like, oh, that guy is a modelizer.
I think that Sex and the City does a lot of like coining a catchphrase, mm-hmm. and sometimes it catches on and sometimes it does not.
That one did not catch on. Or maybe it did, but it only lasted to like 99.
Something like that. So we meet Nick Wexler.
Yes.
Nick Wexler, mm-hmm. Played by Josh Pais. I wonder if I'm pronouncing his name correctly.
I don't know. Sorry, Josh.
Sorry, Josh. Fun fact about Josh.
Okay.
In the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movie, he's the only person that not only wore the costume, but also did the voice.
The one that came out a few years ago?
I don't know. It's just a thing that I read on his IMDb page that I thought was kind of funny.
Josh.
So we
double threat.
Exactly. So we come into this storyline through Cynthia Nixon's character, through Miranda, who's at a dinner party.
Last night, my friend Miranda got invited to a dinner party by a man she hardly knew.
And she's on a date with this guy, Nick Waxler, who she finds out only dates models, and she finds this out. One thing that always strikes me about this scene, so they play this game of, like, who would you want to sleep with?
Old movie stars you'd have liked to fuck when they were young.
I think we're going to say the same thing.
Yeah. Well, oh, I don't know if we are or not, but I do think it's funny how... I'm assuming we're kind of seeing this happen in reverse chronological order.
Yeah.
Oh, and that they get less excited with the game.
Yes. And I was thinking the same thing. I'm like, so Miranda's obviously the newest person he's dated.
Right, exactly.
And they just seem like thrilled to play this game.
Yeah, they're super into the game. And as time went by, they chronologically became less interested in it.
Montgomery Clift.
That's funny. I like that you picked up on that too. That always strikes me as so funny.
Yeah.
And I think my favorite, so one of the actresses in that dinner party scene is two-time Tony Award winner Katie Fennerin, who I love and who I cannot see the name or hear the name Bing Crosby without thinking of her final delivery.
Bing Crosby.
And I can only ever hear his name like that now because of her delivery there.
And I just thought, like, the whole time, I'm like, okay, Nick, get some, like, new material.
Right.
You know, like, if you're gonna...
You think they could have one other game
to
play.
Yeah, like, this, and then be like, what kind of, you know, food would you want for a week if it's all you could eat, you know?
Yeah.
Mashed potatoes.
And they all... And they all stick with their same person.
Yeah.
Like, no one ever is like, you know, I just saw a new movie the other day. Let's
right.
go with this actor instead.
Yeah, no. Well, it had to be like an old movie actor, too.
I guess so. Was it Living or Dead? It could have been someone around now. Because
right.
What's-Her-Face picks Charlie Sheen.
Oh, that's right.
Which I
right.
thought was a pretty funny, timely... Yeah.
The model.
Yeah. I also like that when... So Miranda finds out through the girlfriends basically saying, like, we told Nick that he couldn't bring any more models... And I love how they say these so-called models.
You can't bring around any more of these so-called models, Nick. It's too depressing.
It's like they can't even give them the courtesy of, like, being actual models, but they're so-called models.
Right.
And then referring to Miranda as so not a model.
And then he brought you.
So obviously not a model.
In a good way. Oh,
yeah.
That was kind of funny.
But still, no matter if, like, anyone says to another woman, you are so not a model, but, like, in a good way. You immediately know they're saying, like, you're not really attractive, but you're super smart.
Yeah.
Which is like telling the fat girl she has a pretty face. Like,
yeah, there's
come
not
on.
Really a nice spin on not
no,
a model,
no.
even if it's a good way.
Yeah, because you're still, like, telling someone that they are not.
And it's a pretty obvious choice, but it happens several times where we pick up on the models don't eat
mm-hmm.
and the non-models do eat.
Right.
And a good example of it is that we do as they're cleaning up and they're in the kitchen where Miranda is still eating whatever it was that was on her plate. And if you watch, there's a moment where she's like has a thought and the food on her fork like moves.
Oh.
Like it almost like in defeat, like slides to the bottom of her fork. Clearly not planned, but I enjoyed that. But food becomes like a reoccurring theme. Once again, probably kind of an obvious theme, but I still.
No, and I mean, obviously we'll talk more about this, but it was so interesting watching it too. Like watching them eat every time it comes up, I'm like, Sarah Jessica Parker and her friends are not sitting around eating Chinese food out of boxes.
Oh, it looked so good.
I know. And I've always wanted that like experience of eating the Chinese food with the chopsticks out of like the little box. But it never happens like that.
Oh, I think I may have done that in my past.
In your past life.
I like that Miranda refers to herself as the intellectual beard.
So what am I? Your intellectual beard for the evening?
So we have the coffee shop sign.
Yeah.
I don't know why that coffee shop sign gets me every time.
I think about it too. I thought about last time. I was like, those people upstairs must be annoyed.
Yeah, that is a pretty obnoxious light.
Like you're sleeping and that like smoke one that just keeps blinking.
Yeah.
Like right in your window.
So that said, we do change location. So they're trying to keep us with the same exterior, but
mm-hmm.
we have changed locations in her apartment.
Right.
And we now have presented what I believe is the perfect single person apartment.
All right.
I don't know if you can like picture the whole layout just from that scene, but you have like the little entryway into the kitchen, into a living room. There's a little bedroom off to the side. And then we'll eventually see that she has a walk-in closet that goes from her bedroom all the way to a bathroom.
And she has a full-size fridge.
Full-size fridge. Like it's a great apartment.
Yeah.
We really have. This is the perfect single person apartment. If we're to believe also that it's on the Upper East Side.
Right.
That would be pretty amazing. Chinese takeout, I wrote down. I really, that made me
Oh, also another food moment that I was like, this is unbelievable for me, is when she is walking down the street with Stanford eating a hot dog.
Oh, right.
And like living in New York, it's just not, I've never been with my friends being like, I'm starving. Let's just go to that hot dog cart. You know, like sometimes maybe if a friend comes in from out of town and they're like, I want a New York street hot dog. But like, I can't imagine just being like, I'm starving. Can we just stop and get hot dogs?
I've definitely stopped for a hot dog in my past. Yeah, they're pretty gross in kind of a good way. But once again, I feel like there was a choice of like, how can we always have them eating?
Right. Like, normalize them.
Yeah. That like they're the ones that are eating food.
Meanwhile, I'm at home being like, she wouldn't be eating a hot dog on the street. She looks too pretty in that dress.
I will say Charlotte doesn't get a whole lot to do in this episode.
No.
All that she's really there to do is to talk about her thighs.
I hate my thighs.
And this is not the last time that Charlotte will have an issue with her thighs. They don't just throw that storyline away. But they said it, so I feel like I can say it. But I kind of feel like I would be interested as to what the conversation was about. We're going to talk about Miranda's chin and we're going to talk about Carrie's nose.
Right.
Well, I'll take your thighs and raise you a chin.
I'll take your chin and raise you a chin.
Did they all pick something that they were seriously self-conscious
about? Right, because it's sort
about?
Of, it's, I mean, brave is such a stupid word, but I think that they're both beautiful. I don't think they are both beautiful women.
Yeah, I mean, this was the moment when my kind of, like, feelings about this episode started to change, because it's not dated. Like, women always struggle with beauty standards, you know, like, no matter when. And I thought in this moment that I was really jealous of Samantha, because she makes that comment saying,
I happen to love the way I look.
Oh, like, you know, that's okay. And, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, I think that it also speaks to the idea that you can, like, scoff at the models and you can be like, models, and they're dumb and they're vapid and they're just beauty. Like, all they have is their beauty. But that is, I mean, this scene is showing us that it is not about the models.
No.
Like, it is about our own insecurities.
Yeah, that's why we're saying this about the models. That's why these men are dating the models, you know.
And then the point is sort of made of they put out this, models perpetuate this unattainable beauty, but men think that it's attainable. But once again, it's about our basic insecurities, really. It's not about the models. So the question, I'm bringing it up now because I feel like we're getting to where she asked the question. It hasn't been quite as pointed, but it seems to be the question of this is,
if models could cause otherwise rational individuals to crumble in their presence, exactly how powerful was beauty?
I mean, I think in a way it was kind of answered in that, like, beauty is powerful, but it's almost like that instant gratification. Like, beauty can kind of get you what you want maybe in that moment. But then we see, like, towards the end, what's possibly hinting at something with Big, that maybe it's, you know, it's like doing the crash diet or, like, counting calories slowly.
Right. If you look at the idea of powerful in many different ways, like, it has the power to make other people feel bad about themselves.
Yeah.
That, like, that drives other people's egos or other people's sense of worth. I liked the model's name, Zandel.
Mm-hmm.
I just picked up on that. I also like the model, Brad Fox. I remember him. He's doing the weight machine.
Yes.
And it's sort of this montage as models are kind of listing the things that they get. And I just think his list is really funny because it sort of feels like he's making it up on the spot. Because what he says is,
motorcycle, a juicer, some scuba gear, Herbert's photo.
I don't. What know do these four things have in common?
But I also like, did someone give him a Herb Ritz photo?
Yeah.
Or did he, it was a strange list. I'm sure it was written down. I'm sure it wasn't the act, but it feels like he's just sort of like, like just listing things.
Yeah. It's like this game show where they get to be like, what are things that start with? Yeah.
Things that are fancy.
Yeah.
Motorcycle. Juicer. Yeah. I like that. At some point we get to Barkley.
Yes.
Barkley, a notorious modelizer, was one of those Soho wonders who maintained a fabulous lifestyle despite never having sold a single painting.
I have a lot of feelings about what's about to happen and about what this next scene is. I'm going to start with the fact that he pretty quickly equates models to both dogs.
It's kind of like being around dogs. You got to show no fear.
And things.
Yes.
Well, they are things. They're beautiful things.
And also, like, with him in general, I'm just like, when he shows Carrie his piece of art.
His real art, is what he calls it.
First, I'm just like, that has to be illegal. Like, that whole thing he's doing is just completely illegal in some, you know.
Yeah.
And then, like, Carrie just, like, lights up a cigarette, and it's like, let's watch it. And then I'm thinking, like, sir, in 2017, you would have a hard time getting rid of those TVs because you can't put them on the curb anymore.
That is true. That is true. No, his it is very problematic.
Yeah.
What's happening here. Just quick, I'm assuming that anyone listening to this has already watched it and know what we're talking about, but he has secretly videotaped many different women in bed with him. Now, don't do that.
No.
There's no, this is why that's okay. That's not okay. I think that why the storyline felt less problematic in 1998 comes down to one word, and that's the internet.
Right.
So it was like a VHS or whatever. Like, these aren't going to get spread around. So I feel like this, it must not have felt quite as, like, horrifying.
Yeah.
Whereas now you think, like, with the press of a button, all of those could be revealed to the entire world.
He makes a comment like, I couldn't show this to anyone.
Not yet.
I can't really show it to the public.
He does say that, though. He's like, I'm not ready to share this.
Well, not yet, at least.
Yeah, I was just watching it, like, I wanted Carrie to take out that huge cell phone that she debuts in the next scene and, like, call the police or be like, this is... So that's why I think also, like, I had some problems with this episode. But once again, I'm like, you know, I don't know.
Yeah,
it's a different...
Don't do that. But I suppose it was a different time. But don't do that. And then I don't think that we saw this in the first episode. I think it's debuted in this episode, and that is Carrie's fur coat.
Ooh.
Is that
a thing?
That's a thing. Okay. That fur coat's going to stick around even when PETA doesn't want it.
I was going to say, also, don't do that.
Don't do that. Also, no fur. No, that fur coat is going to be a piece for a while. And yes, that cell phone. That cell phone's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
And only he seems to have one.
Okay, it's not hers.
It's not hers. That was his cell phone that he calls on.
Great.
And makes her very awkwardly try to call Miranda to see why Miranda hasn't called him back.
Hey, this is Skipper. I'm in the street with Carrie. I just told her you won't call me back. So now you have to call me back. You better call me back. No, I'm kidding. I'm joking. But seriously, I hope you call me back. And did I mention this was Skipper?
But he is like a tech guy, right?
He is a tech guy. So I guess he would have a cell phone. He would have been one of the early cell phones. 1998.
Skippy.
I don't know that I knew anyone that had a cell phone in 1998.
I had friends with car phones.
I guess so.
Plugged them into the cigarette lighter.
Guess one was Clueless, like 1995.
Yeah.
That was kind of the first, like, film where everyone had a cell phone.
Yeah.
So then we meet back up with Stanford.
Yes.
And his one client, Derek the Bone. I had a hard time figuring out, because he's referred to as both the biggest underwear model out there, and then Stanford makes a comment about how he's going to be a big star.
Right.
So I was a little bit confused as to whether he was already a big star or he's going to be a big star.
Or is, like, maybe in the model world, an underwear model thing, not... I just thought that maybe that could be what they're talking about, that he's an underwear model now, but he's, like, kind of like he's on soap operas now, but he's going to be a big star soon. Maybe that's what it is.
I guess that makes sense.
I just, like... took issue with the moment when Stanford is kind of like, as opposed to giving him a hug, it's so tiny, he, like, grabs his chest hair.
Yeah, he does.
I'm like, what was...
He, like, pinches his chest a little bit.
Yeah. And I was like, did you want to go, like, lower? And you were like, that's not a good idea.
And I only bring up the fact that he talks about seeing the big billboard of himself and thinking about stealing his nose off of that, because we're going to circle back to his nose later on. That's the reason why I bring it up now. It's funny that he... thought about stealing his own nose.
Maybe because he was unhappy with it.
Maybe that's what it was.
That might be it.
We are going to, like, because later on he makes the comment about how he doesn't like his nose. He thinks it's too big.
I hate my nose too. It's too big. But I think it depends on the hair.
Right. So maybe he didn't want it on that billboard.
Everyone's got something.
Yeah.
And then I do, once again, we go back to Samantha, who's the healthy one, who I love the comment of.
She was one of the only people I knew who thought that proximity to beauty made her feel more attractive.
Right. And then I thought, I liked that. And I was like, see, she's healthy. But then she says.
Oh, you can see all the flaws from this angle.
So then at that moment, you kind of see that she is probably also self-conscious or just catty.
Right.
You know, I don't know. I mean, I'm wondering in that moment, like, is she just kind of mean? But would that also come back to we make fun of other people to make ourselves feel better?
Yeah, probably a little bit of both.
Yeah.
Or also just an offhand remark. Or right. maybe to make Carrie feel better.
Because, yeah, because like in the most, you know, grounded sense, you'd be like, I like to sit up close to see them work the runway.
Right.
But she doesn't say that.
As someone with bar knowledge,
okay.
I always find Samantha's inquiry strange, where she Barclay is sitting behind them and she asks Carrie if he likes his martini straight up with a twist. As though those are two mutually exclusive things.
Right. I think that's just like their code for
obviously.
Yeah.
But I'm like, that can happen at the
that's
same
like
time.
That's like the gay code.
I guess so.
Right? That's what she's asking.
Yeah, okay. Absolutely. I always think it's funny that like it's as though like you can be only straight up or with a twist.
Yeah.
And once again, we get to models don't eat.
Or with olives. I don't know what that would be. Blue cheese stuffed olives.
Gross.
Yeah, gross. That means, like, don't go there.
Don't go there.
Yeah, the eating, the sweet potato puffs.
Yeah.
Apparently the finger food of the 90s.
And all the finger food of the 90s. And all the models are, like, recoiling in disgust at the very idea of consuming a sweet potato puff.
But they're, like, chugging. It pans over the models, like, chugging a Rolling Rock. Like the beer.
Oh, really?
And I didn't think that I would feel like if that's the theme they're going with like, we're going to eat and the models don't, it would be like little vodka water drinks
right.
or something.
Huh. I didn't even notice that.
Yeah.
We don't have a ton of locations. I mean, that bar is interesting. I wonder where that is. It might have just been very set dressed. It's definitely a old school divey looking bar
yeah.
with all the lights hanging down and beads and things like that. That's not really an aesthetic that you see much anymore.
No. And I feel like for the... fashion shows, I feel like it would have been somewhere more meatpacking district type
right.
thing. But
though the only location we are given is we're given the location of Carrie's coffee shop that
mm-hmm.
she likes to go to, which was 73rd and Madison.
Right. Yeah, I thought that was interesting too. Like that caught my brain because I'm like, 73rd and Madison does not strike me as a place for perhaps a...
It's a strange place for a diner.
Yeah, strange place for just like...
Or a coffee shop.
A coffee shop. But once again...
That's fine.
Who's counting?
Who's counting? We have the reappearance of Misha, who was one of the models at the dinner party, who is now
mm-hmm.
dating Mr. Big.
Right. And I think that this moment too, I realized that like maybe the men also need the validation.
Sure. Well, that is kind of, I mean, I feel like that's kind of what we get from the Nick Wexler guy, that he kind of puts it out of like, yeah, of course, why wouldn't I date models? But it definitely speaks to something of his ego. And
yeah, and Big kind of pulls Samantha there and was like,
and probably others just have a thing for exceptionally beautiful women.
But in this moment, I thought he was talking about Carrie.
Huh.
And she doesn't get it.
Interesting. I don't know if I got that, but I like it.
Yeah, I thought that was the moment, because in there I saw just the way he looked at her and like didn't refer to the model. I don't know. In that moment, I thought it might be like he's trying to be.
See, I almost thought that he was like him almost poo-pooing her.
Oh.
Like, your point is silly. Almost.
Yeah.
Like, or you just like, people just like dating beautiful people. Like, it's not,
right.
you're making way too much out of it.
Right. I wanted us all to be like holding hands, be like, we are enough. We are enough. Like at the end, like everyone. Because I was just.
Models are people too.
Models are people too.
So then we have Derek going home with Carrie in
right.
their little slumber party.
Well, before that, though, she makes a comment that I thought was interesting where she talks about not coming to terms with her looks she came to terms with her looks when she turned 30.
The truth was, I thought I had come to terms with my looks the year I turned 30.
I don't know if I've done that yet.
I was going to say, have I done that yet?
I don't know. I haven't stopped dyeing my hair, so apparently. And then, yeah, she goes home, and once again, she's yelling for that taxi.
She's yelling for that taxi. She does like to yell for a taxi.
Taxi!
They can't hear you. They're not convertibles. Their windows are up, air conditioning on, usually loud music.
Yeah.
Or they're like talking on their phone.
Yeah, that's funny because like you see people like whistle for a taxi and that none of that works.
Not working.
So stop being vocal for your taxi.
Yeah.
I like that he asks her what she wants to be when she grows up.
I like that his pickup line to get to that point is, where are you going? I'm going home. Can I come? Like, absolutely not.
I'm going to guess that he doesn't hear no a whole lot.
Right. But also like, she just met him.
Yeah.
Didn't really even meet him. Just, they always see the model and she, and like, I don't know. I mean, obviously it's TV, but right. I just thought that was an interesting moment.
So what do you want to be when you grow up?
Well, I think this might be it. What do you want to be when you grow up?
I'd like to move back to Iowa and have kids, be a cop.
I have concerns about that.
You do?
I don't know.
Well, I thought now in this moment too, I guess I got like really deep with this episode, but I thought, well, a couple things. I thought once again, that's cranberry juice in those wine glasses. Uh-huh. I'm always like looking. I'm like, the cosmos are too dark. That's not wine. And also, I thought that now is Carrie showing us that she's bringing home the model for like her validation? And is she just as bad as the men at this point? So I thought that was interesting. I thought that now we're making, at this moment, we're making the model more human and sensitive, uh-huh. which I was like, thank you. And I don't know. I mean, I have friends and I know people who actually started modeling when they were like 16 and 17 and kind of got scouted and moved out to the city and have had full careers since then. Because it's kind of like one of those things where if you get scouted at a young age, you may, you know, at 25 be done. Your career might be done. So they might not be looking at this as like what they want to do when they grow up. It's just something they do now.
Something they stumbled upon.
Right.
So there is one other location.
Meanwhile, somewhere below 14th Street, two ordinary Joes were doing their own lonely late night thing.
And this is when we get Miranda and Skipper back together.
I really liked this moment when she seems in shock. Like when he is
I
like,
I think you're loose.
And I like this because we all do this. We all self-sabotage. We don't think we're good enough. It brought me to this point, like in my personal life, where someone will contact me on a dating site and I won't respond to them because I'll look at them and be like, no, they're too good for me. But it's like they contacted me.
Right.
But I still don't want to, like, Skipper was calling Miranda.
Right.
And she was still, why would you call me? Why? I'm too old for you. I'm too this. Like I said, I started to really appreciate the message they were showing.
Yeah, I don't know. It's an interesting episode, all in all. I enjoyed it. I think that I probably question it a little bit more now.
There's that moment with Big at the end.
The final moment with Big, where Big tracks her down.
Well, there are so many goddamn gorgeous women out there in this city.
What an amazing observation.
But the thing is this.
In the end, you just want to be with the one who makes you laugh. That hasn't worked for me yet. Maybe I'm just not funny.
We're still waiting.
Still waiting for that one.
I promise I can make you laugh.
I can make you laugh as I'm crying into my Ben and Jerry's.
Yeah, so it's a good episode. I don't know. I mean, it's...
Well, she says that other thing, too, where she goes, beauty is fleeting, but a rent-controlled apartment overlooking the park is forever.
It's not, though, I don't think. I feel like Giuliani put an end to that.
I was just like, I am a rent-controlled apartment. That was like my final thought.
I am forever.
Yeah, and I was like, yeah, I don't know if that's something... I mean, there are some.
Yeah, there are some. So a fine episode.
I liked it. I liked it, okay. I mean, I don't really... I have like one other episode to really compare it to. You know, there were things, like I said, at first I was like feeling for the models, and then I got to a point where I thought they were giving them human emotion, and... You know, obviously there are things that I'm still really mad about that video recording.
Don't do that.
Don't do that.
Don't do that, anyone.
No.
That's a bad idea.
I mean, unless like you've both agreed that you want to do this to keep at home for yourselves.
I don't think that's a great idea.
No, it's not. It's not a good idea because someone's going to get mad at someone at some point, you know.
Nothing is forever.
Or you're going to move and forget that one box.
Or the cloud or something like that.
The cloud? Where is the cloud?
No one knows.
No one knows.
That's an ongoing. No one knows where the cloud
is. Just don't do that.
Just don't do it. Especially if there's not consent. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a terrible idea. So I mentioned in the first episode that there are two big names that we had not met yet. According to IMDb, they were both involved in this episode, but I didn't see one of the names listed anywhere in the credits, so I'm not going to bring it up yet. But I will say that... In the closing credits, we have Patricia Field, who is now the costume designer for the show and will stay with the show and the movies and
right.
Is sort of iconic, I don't know, just because of this series, but like certainly it upped her profile and it's what I know her from.
Right. Well, and I also know, I knew that even not watching the show, that was like what she did for the show. But I also find it interesting because I've been to her store, which
I don't know if it exists anymore.
And it's much more like vibrant and colorful and then, you know, the stuff.
Yeah. I think we've just begun.
Okay.
I don't know if maybe the fur coat was her idea. Who knows? But yeah. She hasn't really shown us her stuff yet.
Okay.
That will become increasing as the series goes along.
Yeah. But because I thought that too. I thought some of Carrie's, sorry, I just kicked Mike under the table. Carrie's outfit choices. Because I mean, even though not watching the show, you can't escape Sex and the City and things for years. And so I remember like Carrie was known for these crazy outfits.
And you know, there's some big flowers coming.
I know there's a lot of flower work.
Yeah.
A lot of like ballerina-esque skirts, shoes. Manolo Blahnik, I know about
that. I think you can find all
of
this. This is a story that just came out pretty recently. So it's all, I won't go too deep into it. But if you look not all that hard, you can find there was originally a different opening credit sequence. That does not end with her being splashed, and she is not wearing a tutu.
Which does happen. That is something that is honest. I have been splashed. I mean, it doesn't look as, like, fun.
Yeah. And your face wasn't on the side of the bus.
No, my face wasn't on the side of the bus.
But yeah, well, there is a different... There
it depends. If it's the Phantom of the Opera bus, it could be me. It's a mask.
It's a mask. So yeah, there was a different opening credit sequence, and it's my understanding that Patricia Field had a lot to do with them redoing that opening credit sequence, so, and getting the tutu and all of that. But you can look that up online.
We didn't talk about how Samantha goes home with Barkley.
Oh, and then wants
to be taped.
Don't worry, I only take models.
I won't mind.
Fine. I'll make an exception.
And then he just like has like an awkward piece of paper covering it, like nice somehow, hiding spot.
So that is the instance in which that is okay. I still don't think you should do it.
No.
But at least she gave permission.
Yeah. Yeah, I just want, like, in a future episode, the cops to come to his house and arrest him. And I don't know if that's going to happen, but... Or, like, arrest him for, like, probably living in a loft that's not meant for residents, and then they find all those tapes, and then he has to go to jail, and...
It's a dark end for Barkley.
Well, he deserves it. I don't like Barkley. Not a fan.
Not a fan of Barkley.
And I was kind of, not going to lie, like, we keep talking about this, but I was kind of mad at, like, the show for doing that.
I understand. Once again, I think that...
I don't think
that it was ever acceptable, but I think it didn't seem like big of a deal.
Yeah, I even remember, you know, in the early 2000s with the whole sex tape thing that was coming out, and people were... Like, I feel like nowadays when those came out, like, celebrity, like, people wouldn't... be as
well, people like do them on purpose now,
right?
It's like how people find their path to fame in some instances.
Should I try that?
It's a terrible idea. I think it's a horrible idea.
Yeah, me too. I think I would,
but everyone has naked selfies also.
Yeah,
and I don't. Are you willing to state right now, at least, if you have naked selfies?
Oh, I absolutely not.
Okay.
I'd shower in the dark if that was an option. No.
So maybe we are just less free.
Yeah,
than
others. Want to never nudes. If I take a selfie, I'm like in a turtleneck.
And then I probably delete it.
Yeah,
I take it and then I'm like, nope, that didn't turn out.
No, and I just put like a floating head. No, when I like back to the whole dating site thing and that self-sabotage idea, when I'm posting pictures like that, I will specifically find ones where it's like, you wouldn't look at this and think like, this is just a good angle, right? Like, I clearly look like I'm at least a size 10 in this picture, right? Like, it's so crazy. And then other people are, like, face tuning and...
Oh, I know. I know people that are really, really good at it. My profile pic, like, for Facebook even is always, like, me in, like, a group, usually. Yeah. Or, like, as a baby. that's
kind of weird.
To go with. Like, I look so skinny
when
I was a baby.
You could... I'm either the one to the left or the baby. You'll get an idea of who I am.
Well, thanks for listening to our second episode, and we look forward to continuing our journey. I'm excited. I'm excited as we keep going, because I do think it's a show that gets better as it goes along.
Yeah, I'm not hating it.
All right.
You know, I do like it's like 25 minutes.
All right. Well, we will consider. Don't do the theme song. We'll get sued. Bye.
Bye.
And stay tuned after the credits for proof that Elise and I know almost nothing about the fashion industry.
You can subscribe to our new Patreon-only podcast, We Couldn't Help But Wonder, Still Wondering, right now! For more information, like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram at We Couldn't Help But Wonder with no caps, no spaces, and no punctuation, and Twitter at WCHBW Podcast. And don't forget to check out my new podcast with Vanya Arslanian, Mike and Vanya Can't Not. You can follow Elise at Evie Castle and me at MikeJensen77. We would love if you would share this podcast with someone, put up a link, or tell a friend. Take a moment and rate us on Apple Podcasts, or even better, write a review there. Most importantly, take care of yourself, and let's take care of each other. Up next, Bay of Married Pigs.
Because we're at this point, we're at like the tail end of, I feel like, the supermodel craze. Like, because didn't that kind of end at the end of
the 90s? I guess so. I guess that started, that had a bit of a downward. Like, it was big in the 80s and 90s.
Because they make a, and you can edit this out if I'm wrong, they make a comment even in the, at one point, about Christy Turlington.
Yeah.
Who was like the first, right?
Yeah. Supermodel. Yeah, she was amongst the, I don't know. I don't know the supermodel thing all that well.
We don't know.
Someone who knows more about supermodels can comment on.